this morning, we are in for a real treat. I'm going to start to cry. That's just nuts. I'm so sorry. I just love this girl. I've known her since she was 10 years old. And to see her... No, I'm good. I'll pull it together. Hey, you can't have a sister's morning without tears, right? It happens every week. It's crazy. But I have seen her being raised in this house and come to a point of just living for Jesus for herself, you know, because there's no grandbabies or in the house of God. You when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, that has got to be a personal decision that you make. Your parents can't make that for you. And I have just watched her so beautifully and so elegantly walk this Christian life. And her and her husband are our campus pastors of our Norfolk campus and just lead so beautifully. They just love people very genuinely. And so I'm honored to introduce Alyssa Klingmeyer this morning. She's going to come and bring the word. Just love you, girl. Love you.
You can sit down. This is going to be a problem that I'm crying. You guys are great. Thank you. Sorry, because I am pregnant, yeah, as you probably can tell, and I promised myself that I wasn't going to cry this morning, and now I'm already crying, which means we're done. I'm probably going to cry a lot more, but it's okay. You know that what's funny is that, are you good? First, you're quiet. Hello? Are you good? Are we a little cold? Do you need to rub the shoulders of your sister next to you? Why don't you turn really quickly to the sister on your left? Give her a little shoulder rub. There we go. Get some blood flowing. Ah, it is good to be in church. You know, what's funny is that this thing is so big. I know that today is going to be a great day because there has been havoc wreaking in my house. And I don't know about you, but it tends to only happen on days that we're going to be in church. Does anyone else have that? Where you're just like, what is happening to my children? Or what is going on with my life? You know, this. I've had a sick family for the past few days. I'm healthy, thank you, Jesus. But my husband and little guy, Jax, haven't been well. And so Jax this morning decides he's going to wake up at like 4:30 this morning. Yeah, that's awesome. And so, and doesn't want to go back to sleep. He's been sick, and so he's got a fever and all that fun stuff. Don't worry, he's not here. For all the parents that are immediately like, is your kid in childcare? No. No. He's at home. But I woke up with him this morning, and we've not watched Nemo twice already today since 4:30 this morning. And we're at the stage of Jax loves to just watch the same movie over, and we are now entering that stage. I now feel all of your pain who have watched probably Finding Nemo 50,000 times. We're at like 100, and I'm done already. And then as I was getting ready, so I'm just feel like a whatever. I feel like I'm a zombie alive right now. And so as I was getting ready, I was kind of frantic a little bit, and I dropped, this is like the worst thing that can happen to a girl. I dropped my, is it called a compact of like makeup? Yes, on the floor, and it shattered like face down everywhere. And I'm like, no, that's the only one I have. I don't have another one. So I was resourceful, and I decided that I would get my brush and just dip it on the floor, right? Because I'm like, I need this. Especially I've been awake since 4:30 this morning. I have massive bags under my eyes, so I need this. So I was on the floor with my brush putting my makeup on. I know, you got to do what you got to do. And yeah, it's just, isn't it just funny how that happens? But anyway, that's how I know it's going to be a great morning, because my morning has been fantastic so far. But before we get into this, I do want to thank Pastor Sharon, even though she's not here, for this opportunity to speak with you. And I know that I said that I was going to try hard not to cry, but I'm going to we're going to get through this. But I don't take this lightly at all, this platform, this stage. Oh, geez, this church. And so that's all I'm going to say. Thank you before I lose it already. But let's pray. God, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have as your women to gather here on a weekly basis. And God, I just pray this morning that we would have open hearts to hear from you. God, that you would use me not to speak just any old words, but God, that your heart would come through this. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're going to do this morning, that people are going to meet you. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Deuteronomy 5:33. I do also have to warn you that I get out of breath a lot. And so if you feel like I'm dying up here, it's okay. I'm okay. This is kind of funny. This is so off topic. But I did an offering a few weeks ago for those of you that were maybe here, and I was so out of breath. Do you remember that? And I had this sweet lady come up to me after and just say, do we need to check you? She was a nurse. Do we need to check you out? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm pregnant. When I get nervous and blood gets flowing, I just can't breathe. But I'm okay. We're good. Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. I love the beginning of that verse. Everyone say, stay on the path. Stay on the path that the Lord God has commanded you to follow. This morning, you know, we've been in a series on staying the path. And this morning, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to stay on the path when others don't. Staying on the path when others don't. I know that some of you maybe get a little uncomfortable when I say that, because if you're like me, we like to think that everyone's going to stay on the path and that we're all going to do this journey forever. But if you've been around for more than 10 seconds, you will realize that not everyone chooses, unfortunately, to stay their path. So what do you do, and how do you navigate when people that you thought you would be doing life with all of a sudden decide that they don't want to stay their path? Because growing up in church, I have seen this happen all too many times. And the unfortunate part out of it is that although other people make those decisions, it can wreak havoc in other people's lives, that it doesn't have to. To give you some background on me, for those of you that may not know me, I have grown up in church, kind of what Rachel said, my whole life. My parents are pastors, they're the pastors here at Wave Church, and so there has not been a day in my life that I haven't been in church. Literally, I have grown up in church every day, all the time. And but you know, I can vividly remember making a decision to follow Jesus when I was 5 years old. And I was in kids' church, and I must have gone with my dad to the early service because I was the only one with him, and it was me and one other kid in the kids' program, so it definitely probably was the early service. And I remember it was back in the days of overhead projectors. Remember those? Did anyone do kids when there was overhead projectors? Yes. Where there were like colored pictures of Jesus that you'd put on the overhead projector, and then you'd tell the next story and flip it over. So that's what we had. I can still like picture it in my head. And I remember our kids pastor, it was me and one other kid, and he said at the end of the lesson, I can't remember what the lesson was about, but he said, you know, if you want to follow Jesus, raise your hand. And so I did. And I prayed that prayer, and he kind of talked to me about what that decision meant. And can I tell you that I've never steered away from God since that moment? And so on a side note, for all of you who volunteer in kids, how many people volunteer in kids? You are champions. Thank you. Yeah, you can give them a clap. They deserve it. But for all of you that volunteer in kids, I know so often we can walk into that kids' church room and just be like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? These kids are not going to remember what I'm teaching them. Those 4 and 5-year-olds are driving me crazy. But can I tell you that there will be some that remember? A lot of them maybe next week won't remember. That's okay. But some like me will remember, and it makes me teary. Some like me will remember and will live their lives because you gave them that opportunity to hear about Jesus. So do not take lightly every time you get to walk. I know even when I walk into that nursery, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me be a light to these little kids. Because sometimes when they throw their little fits, it's not so fun. But I just want to encourage you, when you walk into, remember that you are the light, that you are showing and representing Jesus to those young kids. So anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but anyway. And so since that day, I never steered away from Jesus. I never drank, never smoked, never had a real boyfriend until Jared, who is now my husband. And I used to think, this is funny, but I used to think I didn't have a testimony. You know, when people would get up in church, like my husband, for example, has this just crazy past of, you know, anything and everything you can imagine, and radically met Jesus. And I remember when we were dating, and he was like, can you tell me your testimony? He's so spiritual. And I said, well, I don't have one, actually. You know, it was almost at the point where I'm like, maybe I should go backslide so that I have some testimony to give. And so I told him my story. It was when we were early on dating. And he was like, Alyssa, you have a testimony, and that is the testimony of staying the path. You have the testimony of making the decisions that you've made to be for the glory of God. And I kind of was taken back, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't done anything that has completely derailed my life. Don't get me wrong, I've made dumb choices and done silly things, but nothing that hasn't been trying to do the things of God. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, that's great that that's not mine. Maybe you have that crazy testimony, and that's amazing too. But can I tell you that staying the path is an everyday choice, and that from today forward, you can decide that this is going to be your testimony, that your testimony from today is going to be one of staying the path. Because we would love to think again that everyone is going to stay the path with us, and the truth is that that's not always the case. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit, is just, you know, how to navigate staying the path, especially when other people don't. And I remember having the first friend that I was close with that decided she didn't want to stay the path. We were like best friends, and we had done a lot of my Christian life together. We served together. We were in Connect Group together. We were like inseparable. You have one of those friends where you're just like, this is awesome. We're doing everything together. And then she met one day this guy. I know, dun, dun, dun. And he wasn't in church, and she decided that she didn't want to stay her path anymore, that she wanted to go figure out things on her own and, you know, date him and do whatever. And I remember being so thrown off at first when I heard, you know, when she told me that, you know, this is what the path that she wanted to go down. And I was so hurt and just mad and bitter at her. Like, how could you do this to me? Because it was all about me. How could you do this to me? We've done this journey. And I remember, because if you had asked me who I would have thought I would have been doing life with 50 years down the road, it would have been her. We were going to be serving Jesus. But through that and over the years, I learned two really valuable lessons of encounters of people that have chosen not to stay their path and the decisions that we have to make after that. Because it is a choice, again, to stay your path. And the first is, don't let the decisions of others make you question the path God has called you to. Don't let the decisions of others make you question the path that God has called you to. You know, the enemy would love to immediately make you begin to question why you are staying your path. Well, if they were offended at this, maybe I should be offended, or I can easily take on that person's offense. Or if they think like that, maybe I should start thinking like that. Maybe they have something that I don't know about. Maybe their life looks like it is working out for them in the way that they're going now. But can I tell you that that is not the case, first of all, and that you cannot carry someone else's offense. You cannot carry someone else's thoughts. You cannot let yourself go down that road, which is why it is really important that we have our own convictions. It is important. Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve Jesus? Why do you come to church? You have to have your own revelation of what it means to be a Christian. Because if not, when other people get off their path, it's going to be really easy to join them. Oh, that looks really great, so I'm just going to go over here. You know, it's funny, but it's like, think of your favorite dessert. Any people in here like ice cream? That's like my number one weakness. And I remember someone recently told me about Ben and Jerry's cookies, what is it called? Milk and cookies ice cream. Has anyone tried that? No? Oh my goodness, okay. Well, you're gonna have to after today. But think of your favorite ice cream or dessert or whatever. And I remember this person was like, you need to try this ice cream. I know that you like ice cream. And so you need to try this ice cream. It's really, really good. And they could have talked to me until Jesus came back and about how great this ice cream was. But until I experienced it for myself, I wasn't going to understand what it was like, you know. And then two nights ago, as I mentioned, I've had a sick household. So I'm like, I deserve some ice cream. So I'm going to the store and I'm buying myself some milk and cookies, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And can I tell you that I ate the whole thing in one sitting? I know, confession time. But it is like the best, hands down, best, and I'm not a Ben and Jerry's normal fan, best ice cream that I have ever had in my life. And I can sit here, but think about your favorite dessert, and until you experience it for yourself, it doesn't matter what someone tells you. And that's the same when it comes to your revelation of Jesus. You have to have your own revelation of Jesus, because I can tell you till Jesus comes back how great he is, but until you experience that love for yourself, nothing, you know, people can sway you. People can get you to get off course. If, you know, things can affect you. You have to have your own time and relationship with Jesus. You must have your own why. Why do you do what you do? Why will I stay my path? Through friends that are going to come and go, seasons that are going to change, why will I stay my path? You know, I got thinking about this, and I just wrote down some things. Oh, I'm out of breath. Sorry. Of why I will stay my path. And I encourage you to do the same. I encourage you to think about, why is it that I will stay my path? You know, I will stay my path and stay committed to Jesus and his church because Jesus has saved me. Because I know where my life would be if it were not for Jesus. I would be living an insecure, lonely, purposeless life. Because I don't deserve the life I live right now, but through God's grace, he has blessed me beyond measure. Because I am a firsthand representation of what it means to have parents who have chosen to stay their path, and I want to do the same for my kids. Because the house of God is where I have met my greatest friends who cheer me on in every season that I am in. Because the house of God is where I have met my husband. And I want to be an example to others of what it means not to settle for some relationship, but to wait for a godly man. Because life is too short to be consumed with myself. There are way too many broken, hurting, dying people who need to experience the Jesus that I know and serve. Because I have seen the power of the local church and what it does to help people, what it does to change the outcome of people's lives. And because I am forever indebted to Jesus for what he's done for me. And if he never did anything else, he has done enough that for the rest of my life, I will praise, worship, and adore him. That is why I will stay my path. Oh. What is your why? Why will you stay your path through different seasons? Why is it that you will stay your path and not allow the decisions of others make you question the path that you are on? Point number two, don't let the choices of others lead you into isolation. Don't let the choice of others lead you into isolation. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." You know, I remember this friend who I mentioned earlier who decided that she didn't want to stay her path. And you know, what's funny is we immediately kind of think about ourselves in that moment and get a little selfish because I remember after being mad and whatever, I remember thinking, okay, well, that's great. Who am I going to sit with now in church? Have you ever had that thought where you're like, they're not here, so who am I going to sit with? Who am I? When I go to Connect Group, she was my prayer partner, so now I'm going to have to pray with some random person that I don't know and doesn't know me and doesn't know what I've been through, and you know how you think like that. But we begin to think like that. We can let ourselves go down that road, and quite honestly, I would have loved nothing more than to isolate myself, feel sorry for myself, begin to shut off and not want anyone else to hurt me like she did. But you know, can I tell you that's the worst thing that you can do when you're in a season like that, when you're maybe going through a season of changing friendships or losing some friendships. We have to make the decision to surround ourselves with people who are actually staying their path. And you know what that means? It means reaching out of your comfort zone. And I know when I say that, everyone's like, no, I don't want to hear that. Because it's awesome reaching out of your comfort zone when you're 2 and making new friends when you're 5. You know, what's funny is we'll go to the park and Jax has let, he's not even 2 and he just says hi to everyone. He could not care less whether you talk to him or not. He's going to be super friendly and be your best friend and follow all these random kids around that whether they want to or not, Jax is going to be their best friend. But as we get older, it gets a little more challenging to make some new friends. And you know what I love about Jesus is that he doesn't say that it's going to be easy, but he does say that he'll be with you. Maybe you're in a season of needing to find some new friends, friends that are actually staying the path. You know, we recently did a series in Norfolk of what it means to be, what to look for in a friend. It was called Friendolution. And because I don't know about you, but I need friends that are going to push me to stay my path, not try to pull me from my path. And so just a few quick little things about what it means to look, what to look for in a healthy relationship. When all you want to do is isolate yourself, is number one, a friend that is committed to her path and will encourage you to stay your path. That's exactly what I was just talking about. A friend that loves Jesus and is passionate about him and his church. A friend that will fight alongside you. If you're going through the trenches, you need someone that's going to stand there with you and fight with you. I love, you know, Carly mentioned earlier, Pastor Darlene, and she shared at Devoted how when she was in the middle of going through chemo, how she didn't even have the energy to get out of bed. But she had a friend that just laid in bed with her and played worship music and sang that over her life. You need a friend like that who's going to fight with you in battle. Number three, a friend that will not judge you but also not let you slip into bad ways of thinking. They aren't going to point fingers and be judgmental, but will kindly remind you when you're going down a wrong way of thinking. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You know, honestly, recently I had something happen to me from a friend that made me just really mad and hurt. And what's funny is that we immediately begin to judge others and how we would treat other people. I would never do that to her. I can't believe she would do that to me. And I have I remember starting to be upset and throwing myself a little pity party, and as we do. And, you know, I had another friend that knew the situation of what was happening, and she said to me, "Yeah, I know that it sucks, and I wish it didn't happen either, but you can't allow this to affect you. Things are going to happen to you that shouldn't have happened to you, and you have to choose to be bigger than it." And I'm going to be really honest with you, in that moment, I hated that. I was like, just be upset with me, okay? Like, give me a moment to just be mad. But I needed that. I needed that little slap on the shoulder that said, that's the kind of friends we need, that are going to walk alongside you, but when you begin to throw yourself a little pity party over something so minute in the scheme of life. I mean, it's so dumb. Now that I look at it now, I'm like, why was I even mad about that? But isn't that how it goes? It's the crazy little things that can totally, and would have totally affected my friendship with this other person had I let it. We need friends that are going to not let us slip into bad ways of thinking. Number four is a friend that is fun and you enjoy being around. There's nothing worse than being around people that drain the life out of you. You need friends that you actually enjoy hanging out with, make you laugh. As we navigate friendships, I want to encourage you to seek people out who have these characteristics. But then I want to ask you, are you that friend? Do you have those characteristics? Are you the friend that someone else is maybe looking for? And maybe this morning you're thinking, yeah, that's great. These characteristics are fantastic, but how am I going to find these friends? How am I going to find these people? And the first thing I can tell you is to pray them in. Pray them in. You know, we moved from Australia to Virginia Beach when I was 10 years old. And for any, if you have kids that are around the age of 10, that is an awesome time because they're about to enter middle school. They're trying to figure out who they are and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not an by nature outgoing person. I don't love to be the center of attention. And so me having a funny accent, moving here just was like torture. Anytime we would walk into a place and whatever, and you know that feeling when we moved here and you don't know literally anyone. If you've ever moved, you probably have felt this, and you just like want to crawl up in a ball and die. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't know anyone. There's no one that I can just go to talk to. And I remember we, you know, started coming to church, and the church was not by any stretch of means what it is today. And I remember we would go to kids' church, and we had an amazing kids pastor, but there wasn't any kids my age and no girls my age. And so I remember we had been coming for a few weeks, like we were in church for a few weeks, and I just, the realization of I've left all of my friends and now I'm in a place that I don't know anyone was becoming very real to me. And Josh and Sam were little and they couldn't care less and were fine, of course. I'm like, well, okay, that's cool. But I remember going to my mom and dad one night and just crying and being the dramatic 10-year-old that I was. I was saying, you know, so mad that we moved here, and why would you rip me from all my friends, and it's all your fault, and whatever. And I remember even saying, like, this is how crazy. I remember even saying, we moved our dog with us when we moved here. Why? I don't really know. But our dog moved with us, and I remember saying to my mom and dad, the dog is the only one that knows what I'm going through because she moved with us too, and she doesn't have any friends. And I'm like, who am I? Like, whatever. I remember crying on the back porch next to the dog. I'm not even a dog person. I'm like, what was wrong with me? And I remember they so graciously said, well, we're just going to pray them in. We're going to pray some great families into our church that have kids your age that are fun and cool. And I remember thinking in my little 10-year-old brain, yeah, that's great. Like, we're going to pray and these people are going to show up. Okay. And sure enough, those families began to come to church that had 10-year-old daughters or 11-year-old daughters. I know it's going to make me cry. But God is so good. I say all that to say, oh geez, that God is good, and when you pray, He answers prayers. Pray specific. I prayed for 10-year-old girls, and sure enough, and what's funny, not funny, but how good God is that I am still really great friends with most of those people that came into my life when I was 10 years old. They are still doing this journey today. Why? Because it was the power of a prayer of a 10-year-old who really didn't even believe what she was praying, but yet God heard my prayers and answered it. Yeah, you can give God a hand. And the other thing I would say, just as I'm finishing up, is to get involved. If you're looking for a friend, first thing is to pray them in. And the second thing is to simply get involved. In every season of life, can I encourage you to be involved in church, to be serving, to be in a connect group? You know, what's funny is that I'll talk to people. Every so often, I'll meet with different people, and they'll tell me that they're looking for friends, and then I will ask them, are you serving, or are you in a connect group? Because that is where I have met most of my friends. And they will tell me a million excuses of why they can't be involved or why they don't have the time. And what's ironic to me is that we can find the time to go to Target and walk aimlessly down aisles for things that we don't need. we can find the time to go get pedicures or go to the mall and do whatever, and I'm not saying don't do that because I need my time at Target. But I'm just saying if we were really serious about this, we would find the time. Just as you find the time to go walk down Target for way too long, we can find the time to be serving, to be in a connect group, to be connected. You know, a lot of women, sadly, I have seen when they begin to even maybe have kids, turn their kids into why they can't come to church. Make a decision, honestly, to put their kids ahead of Jesus. And I love them, and I pray for them. But over time, you begin to see their lives that go from these flourishing, loving people to being isolated and alone, and this is not how we were meant to live. We were meant to be in community, and that's why we have sisters every single week, is to help create. We are helping you by doing this because there are some sisters alongside of you. I don't know, maybe your new best friend is sitting right next to you, and you don't even know her yet. But we are trying to help create this community of sisterhood, of what it means to be a friend. And in Joshua 24:15, it says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." You know, I am a representation of what it means to be raised in the local church. Late nights and all, missing naps, throwing tantrums on the way to church. But my parents made church fun and an adventure and not optional. We were going to be in church whether we wanted to or not. We were going to be at every leadership training night. We were going to be at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And can I just encourage you, maybe you have young kids, and I'm probably preaching to the choir because you're here right now. But I know how easy it is, easier said than done is, especially when you have kids that, again, seem to wreak havoc every time that you're going to go to church. They're fine when you're going to Target, but when you go to church, they just, you know, all hell breaks loose. But can I tell you that your kids will be better for it, for being in the house of God? Even if you're sitting in the nursing mom's room thinking, why am I even here? I spend my whole time in the nursing mom's room. Can I tell you, even the moms that you meet in there, that's why you're here, to help them. Maybe you need a little bit of help from them. Maybe you can be there for someone. But can I tell you that, you know, those late nights and whatever, I turned out okay, I think, I hope. The late nights of being in church or the missing naps that I didn't have, I am a better person for my parents choosing to stick it out, being in the house of God, showing me what it means to serve Jesus in every season, good or bad. And that's what I want to do for my family. So can I encourage you, if you have young kids, please, we need you to still be here. We still need you to be in the house of God and be connected and be serving, because you are not only setting an example for yourself, but you're setting an example for those young ones who, believe it or not, are actually watching what you do. And if you are excited about being at church, then they will be excited too. This is Jax's favorite place in the whole world, because he just thinks church is amazing and he loves the stage, which is kind of an issue right now. So pray for us. But yeah, can I just encourage you to be serving, be involved in every season. Maybe you're a little wiser in your years. There's a place for you in this community. There's someone that needs your wisdom, needs to hear the stories that you have been through to help encourage them. Someone that maybe you need some help or encouragement from. No matter where you are, there's time and energy that we can devote to God, serving in kids, serving on a team, in a connect group. It is in these places that I have met some of my greatest friends on this journey. So I just want to encourage you to be involved, be planted, be serving, be a good friend. Know why you serve Jesus. Know why you believe what you believe. And again, don't let the decisions of others isolate you, and don't let them question the path that you are on. Amen? Amen. Did you receive the word? Good.